Hi, this is Lita Sword. You're listening to Iron City Rocks.
Hey, everybody. This is Bill Leverty of Firehouse, and you're listening to Iron City Rocks.
Hey, what's up, everybody out there in Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh land? This is your homeboy, CJ Snare from Firehouse. You are in the right spot, man. Keep it tuned in, keep it locked, and turn it up loud. You're listening to Iron City Rocks.
All right!
Hello and welcome to episode 556 of the Iron City Rocks podcast. I'm your host John, coming to you from the Iron City of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, bringing you the best rock, hard rock, heavy metal, and blues talk on the net. Episode 556, we have joining us for the second time in the history of Iron City Rocks, Mr. Bill Leverty of Firehouse is joining us to talk about a show that we talked about two episodes back. We had Eric Turner Warrant on in episode 554, talking about a show that's coming up June 6th at the Timber Rock Amphitheater in Farmington, PA, which is just south of Uniontown, about an hour or so maybe from Pittsburgh. The show's going to be an awesome night of 80s melodic hard rock. You've got headliners Warrant, Firehouse, and Lita Ford. So we were thankful enough. We dropped a line to Mr. Bill Leverty, who agreed to join us and talk to us, catch up. It's been years since we've had him on the show. As many of you know, unfortunately, we lost CJ Snare last year to cardiac arrest. He had been battling cancer, and his health had declined, unfortunately, and he was not able to continue touring. The band reached out, as we talk about in the interview, and secure the services of Mr. Nate Peck, who had been on season, don't quote me, but I believe 21 of American Idol. An amazing vocalist. If you get a chance, the dude sang Lightning Strikes Again from Dokken in his audition. So it was a fantastic representation for the kind of music that we all love. Did a phenomenal job and has now got the duties of stepping into CJ's shoes. The band has just released a single. We're going to play you a little taste of that. It's called Mighty Fine Woman. We'll get into that interview with Bill Leverty. Ladies and gentlemen, my pleasure to welcome back to Iron City Rocks. After too long, we have Bill Leverty on the line. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, brother.
It is my pleasure. You guys are going to be rolling in to do a show here on the 6th of June at the fairly new Timber Rock Amphitheater here in Farmington, PA, about an hour south of Pittsburgh, playing with some old touring veterans. I'm sure you've crossed paths a million times with Warrant and Lita Ford. Going to be awesome to have you guys coming in. First, wanted to kind of chat. You've got a new single out, which folks can pick up at your website. You've got Nate joining you on vocals. Can you talk maybe just a little bit about how Nate kind of came on your radar? Was it just a matter of seeing him on American Idol, or did someone suggest him?
Yeah, it was suggested. I missed that episode of American Idol. Along with a couple of other ones, but CJ needed a third surgery. CJ had a couple of surgeries with his illness, and that third one was a big one. And a buddy of ours named Robbie Lochner, who played guitar for Jack Russell's Great White, rest in peace, Jack. Well, Robbie said, "I know you guys are going to be CJ's out for a while and you might need a substitute singer. And this guy is so good and has that tone. And so I looked up Nate Peck on Instagram, and he has all these songs that he sings to, like the music tracks, he sings to them, and they're all of amazing vocalists. And he just nailed every one of them. So I called him up and I said, "Would you be interested in filling in for CJ until July? That's when CJ's expected to come back." And he said he'd love to. So we sent Nate, our set list and the songs. And I said, "Do you know any of our songs?" He says, "Well, I've heard Love of a Lifetime. I don't really know it, but I've heard that one." I said, "All right, well, that's it gives you a start." And so we didn't have any real rehearsal with him. We had a long sound check, but as soon as I heard him singing at sound check, I was just amazed at what an incredible singer he was. And he came out and he sang that show. It was at the New England Rock Fest, and he just knocked it out of the park, and we had some video of it, and I sent it over to CJ, and CJ was like, "That is your guy." So that's how it happened. And CJ passed in April, and Nate had been out filling in since October, and it was shortly there. I mean, we knew CJ was ill. We thought he was going to come back. Last time I talked to him, he said he was gaining weight and he was feeling better and he'd be back soon. And then 2 days later, I got a call that he died. And I guess it was a month or two later, we asked Nate if he'd want this to be his full-time gig, and he said yes. So Nate's been with us and doing a fantastic job, and he's just a nicest guy and a phenomenal singer. So I hope everybody will come out and check out Nate Peck. He's amazing.
And for those that don't recall or maybe claim that don't watch American Idol, I remember, I'll admit to it, watching that episode, because I think sometimes the audition videos or the shows are maybe the most entertaining. Him coming out and going right in, he said he was going to do a Dawkins song. I'm like, oh, okay, he's going to sing one of the big ones. And he went into Lightning Strikes Again, if I recall correctly.
Yep, that's it.
And Katie's throwing the horns and making all kind of faces, and I was like, "Damn, this is cool." Now I have to admit, I was curious if I recall he got through to Hollywood, didn't he?
Yeah, all three judges gave him a yes. So that's what they call a golden ticket, a golden pass, I think, golden ticket. So it was Lionel Richie, Katy Perry, and Luke Bryan. And Luke Bryan actually got up and sang a Whitesnake song with him
Nice.
too, and they were just blown away by the guy, and as everybody is, because the guy's got this huge range and an amazing control to his voice and the tone. Like I say, the tone is just awesome. So I've seen it. I rewound that and watched it a couple of times. It was amazing for him to get up there and do Lightning Strikes and then hit those high notes at the end that Don does.
Yeah, I
So
was like,
yeah, it was awesome.
I'm not even sure that Dawn hit those notes at the time. Those were some stuff. And in honesty, I mean, you think back to, the quote hits from Firehouse. I mean, CJ's not an easy guy to duplicate. It's one thing to get somebody that can go that high, but to then have the pitch and the things where it doesn't sound wrong, but Nate's got, I think, an amazing, amazing voice. And it's so great that you got to get kind of CJ's input on that as well. I'm sure that brings some peace of mind. When you have to replace somebody like that, it's always good that it's, there's some peace with that decision. Are you guys looking to do a full album at this point, or is the kind of single model what makes more sense?
Well, for us, since everybody kind of lives in different states, it's a little easier to do a song at a time. And then once we have enough songs to say, okay, we've got an album, we'll press up some CDs or some vinyl or whatever and make that available. But for now, it's just, we're doing one song at a time. And it's kind of a good way to do it, because you really focus all your energies on the one song to make it the best it can be. And you also, when you put out a song, you know, that's the song and there's no filler, you know, you got to make sure it's all really, really, everybody's happy with it. So that's kind of the thing. And just to, not to backtrack, but just to go back with what we were talking about with Nate and when he came in and everything, CJ never wanted us to cancel a show, which I thought was really cool about him. And we didn't either. And neither did the promoters. They didn't want to cancel the show either, because it's very painful for the promoters. So it was nice that CJ, we had his blessing to keep going, while he was recovering, and then it was an unexpected passing with his cardiac arrest. So,
I mean, and that takes a you know, is a wonderful statement to CJ that, I mean, for the fans and, like you said, the promoters, there's a lot of people that, you know, livelihood depend on you guys meeting your contractual obligations, and it doesn't do anybody good financially to miss them. So for him to have that respect for you guys, for the fans, that's a wonderful testament to him. Are you able to, I mean, you guys have, you know, as your website enumerates the amount of platinum and singles and things that you guys had, because that's probably enough to fill a lot of set. Are you able to kind of work new material into the set?
If there's time, we sure will, and we can't wait to play our new song. But if we've got, you know, 30 minutes to play, we have to cut one of our big songs, I think people might be more disappointed. But, you know, it's getting a great reaction. Our song Mighty Fine Lady is getting a great reaction, and we can't wait to play it live. If there's time, we're going to do it.
Yeah, you look at, you know, kind of your, you know, singles, and I'm like, I don't know which song you might be able to trim from that, and you probably got 40, 50 minutes easily of just songs that were all over the radio. I love looking back at that, and you're like, you know, you think of a band, and you're like, okay, I think of two or three songs, then you start looking back, and like, oh, I forgot about that song, that was huge. Because you guys came in, sort of, I believe 91-ish with Don't Treat Me Bad. Am I thinking of that correctly?
Yeah, that's about right. Because the first album came out in America September of 1990.
Okay.
And they didn't really put out Don't Treat Me Bad until after the first of the year, after the Christmas rush. Mm-hmm. They put it out in January. So that's when that first single came out. And then it did rather well at radio and MTV. So they said, hey, we got to reshoot the video, because the video they shot was like a $10,000 video, which seems like a lot of money nowadays for a video. But back then, with Michael Jackson doing multi-million-dollar videos and stuff, they said, we got to re-record this video, do a new video for you guys. And while you're out in L.A., on the Friday night, you're going to do Don't Treat Me Bad. On the Saturday night, you're going to do Love of a Lifetime, which will be your next single. So we're like, okay, we're ready to go.
Did you guys get input into what were the singles? You know, you look at that, All She Wrote, ripping out three quick singles that were all huge. Did you guys get much input at that stage of your career as to what song was going to be, quote, the single?
No, that's the short answer is no. We, you know, certainly told our A&R guy, you know, that we wanted to go with heavier songs first. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, okay, well, when we go to the meeting, I'll certainly mention that. But they didn't feel that it was going to be easy to break a band at that time.
Yeah.
With the heavy stuff like it was going to be if they were to go with our more pop side, which I don't know, they're trying to run a business, they're trying to make a success, and we didn't know the battles they were fighting behind the scenes at, you know, program directors and with MTV or whatever, and what they needed, and their strategy was, let's release Don't Treat Me Bad, try to get it played in as many stations and as many formats as possible, instead of going for just the rock side of things, which we felt like, you know, out of the 10 songs on the album, the 8 of them are more hard rock.
All right.
And they're, but they kind of had a go for the throat kind of mentality. Yeah. So, yeah, that's fine. We're here, so we're still gigging. We can't complain.
Yeah, I mean, do you guys ever look back? I remember having a discussion with Reb Beach of Winger, who had said, you know, if they had dropped their album 3 years prior, they would have been, you know, mansions and things. Do you guys ever give any thought to that? You know, I mean, 91, you were, the timing maybe was, even though incredibly successful, you know, you were kind of on the back end of that particular wave of you know, what A&R was doing, what radio was doing. Did ever kind of cross your mind, or are you just happy for the way it ended up?
Yeah, the woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yeah.
Discussions happened quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I try not to think about it too hard because it's just, you know.
Gray your hair.
Yeah, that's right. And the other thing was, I mean, honestly, I don't know if we were really ready 3 years prior. If we were ready with the songs that we had and with the, you know, it took a lot of experience, experiences in the clubs and whatnot to get to where we were ready to play on a bigger stage. And we were ready to sing every night and learn. I mean, we would learn the hard way in arenas that, you know, you got to take care of your voice.
Yeah.
And so that I think that it all worked out the way it worked out, and that's what it is. But, you know, we certainly had discussions, and we've had people, you know, say, oh, if you'd come out earlier, you guys, you know, but we weren't ready. We didn't have a lot of those songs written 3 years prior. So we had a couple of them. CJ and I wrote our first song in 86, and it was called Helpless.
Mm-hmm.
It's a song off our first album. And that was kind of the beginning of it. So that was three or four years before we got rolling pretty good. But, you know, that was our first song we wrote together. So we weren't really ready by then.
Right. Was I Live My Life for you maybe the biggest surprise based on the timing of the success?
Well, the climate was definitely against us.
Yeah, you were rowing upstream at that point.
We really were. We were looking at other bands of our genre that put out records that nobody would play. They were good records too. A lot of really good records. And we, you know, we were in the studio with Ron Nevison. Produced
legend.
A lot of my favorite records, and great producer, great guy. Just super time out there in LA. Everybody had their own apartment. We had rental cars, and we, you know, the budget was just busting.
Yeah.
And, but as I listened to the radio, it was all bands kind of anti-melodic rock.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of, you know, I don't want it to sound disparaging, but the grunge kind of sound was kind of taken over. Alternative was kind of taken over. And I liked a lot of that stuff, you know. I mean, I was listening to Spoon Man on the radio while we were recording I Live My Life for You and other songs on that album, and going, wow, gosh, I don't know if the radio is going to play any of this stuff. But the record company put out I Live My Life for You, not as a single, really, but as just servicing radio with that song by sending out the CD. And we had done our homework in the years prior in going into radio stations in the morning and playing acoustically for the morning show. And we'd play at Christmas parties for the radio stations. And we made friends with a lot of radio stations. So a lot of the radio stations said, oh yeah, we'll play the new Firehouse song. And that song went number one in a lot of, at a lot of radio stations. And
it was into the
top 40. It was a big song for us.
Yeah. I mean, and that's really, really rare to say, you know, to a melodic hard rock band with a legitimate hit in 1995. You know, there's a lot of, you know, like you said, sponge and stuff like that. Was it tempting to kind of let that creep into your style when you were putting this record together, or you guys pretty set on what your brand of music was?
Well, I we always had the philosophy that we have to just write what we feel and what we like and what comes, write what comes out. Don't try to make it come out a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah, so we just kind of drew from our influences, and I'm sure listening to the radio, influenced us a little bit as we were writing and recording, but not really. I mean, it was
True.
just
True to what
th
you
like
guys
that. The
did.
next record was an acoustic album, and yeah, so Eric Clapton's acoustic album was all over the radio with his
Yeah.
version of Layla and stuff. And so, when we put out good acoustics, we were like, yeah, let's make an acoustic record that really sounds cool, and that we're gonna have fun playing live. If we have to go do any acoustic gigs, we can pull it off. And we covered an Eagles song, and so we did that, and that was, something that we didn't really go with the alternative sound. We just kind of did what we wanted to do, and that's, what kind of the antithesis of what you want to do if you're trying to run a business as a band. But we didn't really run it as a business. It's really more of an art form, and we just wanted to get out there and do what we want to do
Yeah.
and what we'd have fun doing.
Well, in hindsight, we're talking about it now, 30 years later. So, mission accomplished. Bill, I want to thank you so much again. You're going to be in town 2 weeks from today. We're talking here on, and you'll be here on the 6th of June to do a show with Warrant and Lita Ford. Really looking forward to seeing Nate do the entire set. Excited to hear what he's got. From the little I've heard him sing, he's got a lot. So it's going to be great to see him and see you. And we wished you the safest travel into town, man.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks for having me on your show, and thanks to your audience for putting up with me.
All right, again, June 6th, Timber Rock Amphitheater. We'll have links in the show notes. If you still haven't got your tickets, tickets are available. Nice 2,800 seat outdoor amphitheater with a beautiful view of the Uniontown Mountains. If you've been, say, to the Summit Inn in up that way, or Nemacolin, you've driven up that way. It's very close to the entrance to Nemacolin. Going to be a great night of rock music again. Lita Ford, Firehouse, and Warrant. If you're a big fan of Warrant, go back to episode 554. We had Eric Turner was kind enough to join us to talk about the band. So check that out. Tickets, we'll have links on our website. You can visit us at ironcityrocks.com. All of our social medias are Iron City Rocks, and you can drop us an email at ironcityrocks@gmail.com. Doing tons of giveaway for some summer and fall shows at different venues around the city, so be sure to check out our social media for information on how to enter. And also, we post every concert that anybody sneezes about in the Eastern Ohio to Central Pennsylvania, as far north as Erie and down into Morgantown. We try to keep you abreast of all the shows, because people turning out to shows like Warrant, Firehouse, Lita Ford is how promoters are able to keep them coming back. So if you like the music, get out and enjoy it. It's going to be a great night. So until next time, I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank Bill for his time today to join us, and hopefully we'll see you at the show.